The X Zone radio and TV show is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X Zone radio and TV show or in any manner endorsed by Rob McConnell, Relmar McConnell Media Company, Talkstar Radio Network, its affiliated stations, or employees. All Hit Radio.
To the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
The road is long.
Welcome back to the X Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell. We're coming to you live and around the world on the Talkstar Radio Network and our fine family of broadcast affiliates across Canada, the United States, Central America, the Caribbean, South America, the Pacific Rim, 20 Asian countries, and in Europe, the rest of the world on TalkstarRadio.com streaming audio. If you'd like to give us a call, our toll-free number is 1-877-528-8255. That's toll-free throughout the U.S., Canada, Alaska, and Hawaii at 1-877-528-8255. My email address is xzone@talkstarradio.com, on MSN Messenger, talkstarradio@hotmail.com, and our two websites, www.xzonetv.com. And that's where you can go and listen and watch the show at the same time from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, and our main website, www.xzoneradio.com. My guest this hour is Bruce Goldwell, and we're going to be talking about Bruce's miraculous voyage from being a former homeless man to now having a movie deal. Bruce Goldwell's story is truly an inspiration for success. For 6 years, he was homeless and lived on the streets. Eventually, he ended up in California living in the alley behind Dennis Hopper's house. Today, he has a movie deal supported by some real movers and shakers in Hollywood, and he's the author of 5 books with more on the way. How did he do it? Why don't we ask him? Joining me right now is Bruce Goldwell. I'm Bruce. Welcome to the X Zone.
Well, thanks for having me on, Rob. I appreciate it.
So tell me, Bruce, how did you do it?
Well, I tell people I had to change my mind. My life was spiraling downwards, and when I finally started changing my thoughts in my head, my whole life started to turn around. And it seems like it's instantaneous, but it takes a while to do it. But as soon as you change your thoughts, your life immediately turns the other direction. It's like you can either go north or you can go south. You can't face them both. What you want to do is start creating the kind of thinking that starts taking you in the direction you want to go.
And what kind of thinking is that?
Thinking along more positive lines. I mean, people are programming their subconscious all the time. If you go to a car lot and you're looking at a car and you go like, well, I'd like to have this car, but I just can't afford it.
Right.
I've got a friend of mine that says, well, she just wrote a book. And I said, well, you need to get some money so you can take care of yourself for a while, so you need to find an investor. Well, she says, well, I don't know any investors. That's another program, you see. If she would say, well, I don't know any programs, but I need to get the money, so I don't know how I'll do it, but I will find the investors, then they'll show up. But they're not going to show up as long as you're programming yourself that you just don't know them and that you don't have it. You know what I mean?
So basically, we're our own worst enemies.
Exactly. Our thinking is what destroys our life, or our thinking is what makes our life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what would you do so your life can become magical?
Good question. If it's not working, you've got to change it.
I just returned from Philadelphia. I was driving down the road. I just ran in and plugged my charger up in time because the phone was almost out. But I just got back from Philadelphia. Yesterday I met with a gentleman who's going to start marketing my books to get them on the New York bestsellers list. And then mm-hmm. today I'm at the airport, and I got a hold of a friend of mine in Hollywood that she's an agent, and I told her what happened, and she's been helping me connect some other people to the movie. And I said, so the way I'm looking at this, you're my agent. She sends back, she said, yes. Well, then shortly after that, another friend, I called him up and told him what happened. He's getting ready to produce a movie, and he says, Bruce, I want you in my movie. And I'm thinking, I don't think I want to leave this airport. it just starts coming at you so fast. But when I was living in that alley down there, every day was a struggle on how do you make a nickel? How do you get a quarter? And now I've got people writing checks to me, you know, and I mean, a $10,000 check so that I can keep going forward with my dream. That's, mm-hmm. that's a lot of quarters.
It certainly is. All right, stand by, Bruce. You and I have to take a commercial break. We'll be back on the other side of this commercial in 2 minutes as we continue live and around the world on the TalkStar Radio Network.
The long and winding road that leads to your door will never disappear. I've seen that road before.
Bruce Goldwell is our special guest, Exxon Nation. And Bruce, I have to ask you, you know, you were homeless for, what, nearly 6 years?
Well, actually, it was from the spring of 1998 until the summer of 2007.
Wow.
So it was a little more than 6 years. I was actually living in a car for a while up till this summer, and then some people in Salt Lake City invited me to come and stay at their house. I had met them back in June,
mm-hmm.
and I'm acting as an advisor for their company now. They've got a new speaker technology, and I'm helping them on getting their business up and running. So ask them, like, how do you get a homeless guy to coach you for your company?
Well, I was just going to ask you that. You know, you were homeless for 7 years or nearly 10 years, and all of a sudden you're a consultant.
Right. Well, I had been doing another a friend of mine that I met a couple of years ago. She's got a modeling agency, and she now has 30 models, mm-hmm. and she's got some jobs coming in from Korea and China now. And it's not where you are. So I remember reading, I think it was Brian Tracy's book, he said that it's not where you are, it's what direction you're headed. And that too many people judge people for where they're at and not the direction they're headed. And these people, when they met me, saw that where I was headed with things. I've had several books published by then, and they know what the book was about and what I'm doing. And mainly the books are to help other people, because there's a mindset you have for you to have a successful life. And when I discovered that, I started creating the mindset in my head, so I'm programming myself to success, and then other people see that, and they want you to be part of helping them do this, the same thing. I've got a series of books I'm doing called Master Abundant Living, and last year, four of them was published. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be like Chicken Soup for the Soul kind of book. It's the series is Master Abundant Living, but each book has a different subtitle. And that book's going to be, the first book was released in April, the second book was June, and then two more books since the beginning of the year, and that's a series of books that's going to be released by a person that's going to be marketing my books out of Philadelphia now.
All right, so are you still homeless now?
Well, no, I live in a house now. They've got several rooms here in this place here. They're actually, they've set up a business, and they're all working out of the home right now. And they felt if I was closer to them, I'd be able to help them, and then that would also help me as well, because that would give me kind of like a base to work from.
All right. Now, what were the circumstances that led to you being homeless?
Physical problems I started getting in the middle of the 90s. I actually had four back injuries from 1989 till mm-hmm. January 2nd, 1996. That's when I had my fourth one. and I couldn't work. I just kept injuring myself, and when you're that kind of a liability for people, they see you've been on workman's comp here and workman's comp there because you keep injuring yourself. They don't want to hire you on. And I had some other problems that occurred were personal problems in the family, and it caused me more stress, and I just kept getting sicker and sicker to where I couldn't work at all. And Social Security, you know, it takes you years to be able to get on Social Security. In the meantime, they don't care if you live in a gutter or in a garbage can or what, then they're going to put you through the gamut before they ever put anybody on Social Security disability.
Now, what kind of job were you doing?
I've worked several different kinds of jobs over my life here. Mm-hmm. I started out after I left the military. I was in construction. I built homes and down in Jupiter Island in Florida, million-dollar homes. And I've also been a high school teacher. I taught high school for 3 years. I was a computer programmer for 2 years. I actually designed homes in 1996 after I injured my back. Then I had a computer at home, and I got a program where I could, it was a design program, and I designed homes for 1996. Yeah, but life, physically, things kept going downhill, and I mean, wasn't even going to guarantee I'd live to 55 years old. Since I've been able to get a grasp on life here and turning, start becoming successful emotionally and psychologically, it's helped out. So some of the physical problems I've had have started going away.
All right, now tell me about this movie deal you've got.
I've got a series of books I started writing in 2005. I put up a web page. It just had two paragraphs on it. It had a heading that said, Coming Fall of 2005, Dragon Keepers, and it had two paragraphs stating it's a story about Merlin the Wizard, and he's 13 years old, and that, you know, what this first book was going to be about. And what I started doing, rather than looking for a publisher, I would close my eyes and image myself being at the movie awards and pulling up in a limousine, stepping on the red carpet. When I go in the building, I can see what's going on. I hear the music. I smell the perfume, all the things you would experience at the Oscars. Well, before I finished writing the book, I got a proposal, an email from a publisher out of Canada wanting to publish my book. I had somebody from Matrix, one of the special effects producers of Matrix, send me an email and said, hey, when this book becomes the number one book, I want to be in the production, of the movie. And I hadn't said anything on the page about it being a movie. I just said the book's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this guy already foresaw that this kind of a story is going to be a movie one day.
Yeah, but the kicker here is it has to be a number one seller.
Well, not really.
Well, isn't that what you just said?
I've already had people. I've got Jeff Bova, who's Celine Dion's producer. He's going to compose the music on the movie. I have a co-producer. His name is Jeff Malian. He actually produced Jennifer Aniston's first movie, and he's on my project. And we were just in L.A. last week, and he's put together some huge contacts for who might be buying the distribution of the movie. And the agent that I just told you about a little bit ago, she actually was talking to me today and told me that she's actually talking to MGM about it. So, I mean, dragons are in right now and wizards, you know, so they see that kind of a book could really be huge. And I've already got the person in place now that's going to get it up to the bestseller list and then eventually on New York Times bestsellers.
Now, the other books you wrote, what are they about?
Master Abundant Living is on The Secret. The first two books I did, one was called The Door to Superachievement, and the second one was called The Power of Choice. And that's why I started writing Dragon Keepers, because kids don't buy self-help books, and I wanted those principles in a story that when kids read it, they learn the success principles. In October last year, I saw The Secret, and I realized that's what I was writing into my stories, and so now I've kind of been able to give it kind of a, hey, here's the title. You know, it's Law of Attraction. This is what I'm doing. And so I started a book back in January of 2007. I got a co-author out of Florida. We wrote the book together. We hadn't met yet. Book was published in April. We went to California to what was called Wealth Celebrities, and we'd met there the first time, and Bob Proctor was the very first speaker at it. He's the gray-haired guy on The Secret. and we gave Bob Proctor an autographed copy of the book. I just saw Bob again in California here in December at another forum that I was at, and he remembered me. And I said, well, Bob, I've got two more Mastery of Abundant Living books out now. And he just says to me, you are one busy little guy. So that's kind of nice to be able to touch base with people like that, you know, and they see that what they've done has touched your life in a way where now you're able to start helping other people too. So not only am I doing these things, but, you know, I've got books out to teach other people how they can reprogram their own mind so they have a success mindset and not a failure mindset.
All right, so how did you reprogram yourself from being a street person to a person who is now living with the people who are employing you?
I've actually, the very first thing when I was behind Dennis Hopper's house, it was about two doors down from him, and I lived underneath a truck topper. Those are those things that go over the back of a pickup truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was one on the ground that had wood underneath it, and I had moved the wood around so I could get up underneath there because it was a pretty safe place compared to being in the middle of the sidewalk. And every night before I would go to bed, I'd start saying to myself, the people and the money that can help me accomplish my dreams are coming into my life. And I'd just say that over and over and over in my mind, and eventually I'd wake up in the morning and realize I'd fallen off to sleep and slept through the night. And I did that every night. And then I eventually started adding other affirmations on so that I just had other ways I was programming my mind that things that I needed, those things would come into my life. And now it's just crazy because two or three things will happen in today. It's not like I'm waiting month after month for something new to happen. I've got friends that will call me up and say, okay, what happened this week?
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a list of things that happened. So when you start generating this program, I mean, your mind's a programming, and it's sending out signals all the time. And if you've got bad programming in there, you're going to have bad things going on in your life. But when you've got good programming going on, you're bringing good things into your life. It's real easy to do, but you have to make the choice to do it.
All right, so if somebody's listening who is not getting anywhere, their life is on a spiral, what would be the things that they would look at to change?
I have actually on YouTube, I've put videos on there, affirmation videos. I've got one for health and one for wealth. I've got one for love, and people can go on YouTube and watch them. On my website itself, I have the videos on my website. I've got links down the left-hand side. So when they go to brucegoldwell.com, they can click on one of those videos, and they just show at the top of my page, and underneath that is the links to Amazon for my books. But I put that up because I knew that's something people could do immediate. They don't have to pay me for it. It's free. They just go view the videos. And my videos have been watched about 250,000 times since about December, well, in about a year now. One person actually in a hotel in April in the lobby of the hotel, and I showed her my book. She bought an autographed copy of it, and then when she was looking at the name, she goes, wait a second. And she held her arm up and had goosebumps on it. She says, you're the guy that has videos on YouTube. And I said, yeah, I do. And she says, I watch them all the time. And I thought, there's like 35 million people in California, and I meet one person in the lobby of a hotel that's watching my affirmation videos.
All right, stand by, Bruce. You and I have to take a commercial break. Bruce Goldwell is our special guest, www.brucegoldwell.com. My name's Rob McConnell. This is the Exxon on the Talkstar Radio Network. Bruce and I will be back on the other side of the news and some words from our fine sponsors as we continue live and around the world from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Exclusively right here on Talkstar. Don't go away.
My name is Michael Telstar, Canada's leading mentalist from Toronto, Ontario.
Hi, my name is Splenda, and you're listening to my dad, Ron McConnell, on the XM.
This is Psychic Dorothy from St. Catharines, and you're listening to Rob McConnell.
Hello, my name is Holly Reeves, an astrologer from Astro for You, and you're listening to Canada's number one paranormal radio show, The X-Zone, with Rob McConnell.
Welcome to The X-Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Bruce Goldwell is our special guest. His website is www.brucegoldwell.com. This portion of the X Zone is being brought to you by Ken Klein Productions, bringing mysteries into the light of day. His website is www.kenkleintv.com. And by Technon, the science of survival. When danger strikes, are you going to be prepared? Visit their website at www.technonllc.com. Bruce, your story is one of, I guess we can say, from basic rags to riches. How do you feel?
It's like your feet's not touching the ground. What makes me really feel good is that how I'm able to help other people and reach out and help them because they're starting out. Mm-hmm. Like today at the airport, I called up somebody I met. She was in the restaurant at my hotel. I sat down and talked with her for a while. She'd just written a book, and she'd been trying to get an agent. I said, forget the agent. Let's get your book published. So I gave her the address to my publisher and told her to get her book off to him and let her know that I had referred her to him. And I said, now just give me a call anytime. I'll coach you and help you through this. Well, I mean, here I had nothing before, and then I'm working on my things. Now my next step I've started doing is reaching out to help other people now. Actually, like when I was in California, I'm trying to struggle to get a quarter, a dollar, whatever it took, and I was entertaining down there to make money. And then the next level was moving up where I'm working on how to get my things going. Well, they're going now. So what I've done now is made another transition, and I started a program called Better World. I created a domain name, betterworldcircle.org, mm-hmm. And I've got a list of 46 things that I want to do initially to make a better world. And then I'm asking my friends, make a list of whatever things you want to do to create a better world. And then I'll look and see what I can help you do, and you might want to see what you can help me do. And you find your friends and get them to create their list, and we'll just create a bunch of circles that just keep growing, and everybody's focused on what we're going to do to create a better world. So initially you're thinking on yourself, how do you survive? Then you go to, okay, how do I do something so I get above survival mode? But the next level up is, okay, what am I going to do to help the world? And then everything else will just fall in place for you because you've changed your focus from me, me, me to the world. You know what I mean? So it just makes me feel good that at one point I'm in survival mode, and now I'm able to actually reach out and help other people.
Tell me, when you were living on the streets in Los Angeles, what was the hardest part of your day?
I had one of those days when, and I tell people if they've ever seen the movie The Horse Whisperer with Robert Redford, mm-hmm. There's a part where he's in the kitchen with the little girl, and she's kind of looking spacey, and he says, I know you want to go to that place where it feels safe. He said, but I'm going to ask you to stay here with us. I had one of those days. I was sitting in a little grass knoll there on Venice, right next to the sidewalk, and I had days I didn't make any money, and it wasn't depression, it was just like falling apart. And I thought, if I flip a switch and go to a place where I can't feel this, will I ever be able to come back? Because if I can't come back, then I can't help anybody. And then it just came to my mind, well, you're just going to have to figure out how to make it beyond this and get out of this. Well, now people ask me, with the level of success I'm at, they're going, you weren't really homeless down there, were you? But I said, well, you want to take a walk with me down Venice sometime? I said, there's people down there remember me. I was just there last week and stopped by and saw some lady, and she goes, how are you doing? I mean, I've seen her a couple of times since 2003, mm-hmm. but she remembers me when I was singing right across from where her little stand was.
So
amazing.
So the last time you lived behind Dennis Hopper's house was how long ago?
1999, I lived in the alley behind his house for about 3 months, well, actually about two doors down. I got to Florida in about 2000 and helped my daughter for a while. Ended up at a campground for about 6 months. 2001, went back down to Venice and stayed on the beach for that summer. By 2003, I had a vehicle, and I went back down to Venice Beach again, but this time I parked in front of Dennis Hopper's house, and so I was making this transition from the alley to a car, and now I'm out of the car and in the house. So It's an upward climb, and a lot of those people that are homeless down there, it's emotionally, it's kind of hard to move, you know, right from the streets to a house. You have to kind of make a transition. So at some point, I'm going to be instituting a program here, a reach-out program, that'll help people wanting to make the transition where they can move from something to the next level and then to the next level, but at a level that they can emotionally handle that. And I'll be doing that under my Better World movement.
Tell me, do you think the government is doing enough for the homeless people?
We shouldn't go there. There's a lot of organizations that are helping people out, and they get grants and stuff from the government, but especially down in California, because of the cost of living, a lot of that money that people get is being used for their salaries, and it doesn't go to the people. Mm-hmm. And that's not all organizations. I know there was one where they handed out peanut butter sandwiches during the day. And the cost to operate of something rather like that down in California, hand out peanut butter sandwiches, I don't think so, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it's not something the government, I don't see it as a government job. It's something that individually people are going to do. And as I move along here, I'm going to be encouraging people to go down, find somebody on the street and go, what are you doing here? How can I help you? And it's going to be people that are in a position to do that. When I was in Venice last week, I saw a guy peddling his CDs, and he said, I'm going to be a famous hip-hop singer. And I got on my phone, I called up a friend of mine, he's the executive producer of a CBS show. I said, there's a guy down here peddling a CD, haven't heard it, but I want to put him on the phone with you so you can get his number and talk to him. So I connected him. So I'll be doing a show pretty soon, Dreamers and Mentors, and this guy who I was on the phone connecting this guy to, I talked to him today about him being the executive producer for the show, and he's interested in doing that. So we'll be going out and finding people that have dreams and connecting them with mentors so they can accomplish the dream they want to do.
I think that show's already on the air.
Is it?
Yep.
Well, I'll just call it something else. We'll do it some way here, but I'm just in this mode where I want to go down and help people. If somebody walked down the beach and saw me when I was down there and said, you need to be doing here, follow me, you know, and as people would hear me sing and go, what are you doing down here? You need to be on a CD. And I said, well, I'd like to do that, but nobody's invited me to do that part yet. But now I've gone beyond the music to writing books and now working on my first production for Dragon Keepers.
In your, you know, the way you look at life, Bruce, is there any reason why people are not successful? Or why they shouldn't be successful, I should say?
No, there's absolutely no reason for them to be unsuccessful. I mean, that's my second book, is The Power of Choice.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing is, and this is what my first chapter of my Master of Abundant Living book, I point out that the universe is abundant. I mean, nature produces abundantly. Everything is abundant. And if you're not living abundantly, you've probably been programmed to live in lack. And sometimes parents do that. So maybe it's friends, but somebody, I have a family that I knew one time that said, oh, if a person's got money, it's because they inherited it from their family, that nobody ever gets out of where they are. And they lived in a trailer park. To them, they believe that the only people that are successful are people that inherited it from some family person. But that's not true.
No, it's not.
Success can be done by anybody.
Hard work and dedication.
And mainly from the mind. When you're working from the inside out, life becomes magical. If I'd have known this a long time ago, I mean, my whole life would be different, but at least I learned it now. I read a Bob Proctor book, book by Bob Proctor, You Were Born Rich.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was giving a talk somewhere, there was a 66-year-old man that stood up and said, I finally get it. Well, if you're 25 right now, you want to get it at 25. You don't want to wait till you're 66. If you're 18, this is the best time to get it. You know, kids need to be able to grow up with a vision and the belief that they can accomplish their dreams. And if they're being told, well, you've got to keep your feet on the ground, you've got to be real, I have a new statement. It's go beyond real, be magical. When you create a magical life, you inspire others, and you create a life where everybody can have fun.
All right, if you want to have a positive attitude, and you go out of your way to have a positive attitude, and yet you're surrounded by people who, you know, they just find something wrong with everything in life, how do you beat that?
Those are toxic relationships, and I explain that also in the book Power of Choice, that there's people that you got that you probably call friends right now, but if your friends are complaining all the time, you're going to realize what kind of friends you have. And you're making a choice every second of every day if you're living in a crab bucket or if you're living on a space shuttle. In a crab bucket, everybody's pulling everybody down. In a space shuttle, don't they all try to help each other get off the ground?
Sure do.
And that's the choice you make. So if you're not living a space shuttle kind of life, then I'd say to my friends, I love you, but I have to go. And you find the kind of friends that will help you live a space shuttle kind of life. If you stay around those friends that are pulling you down all the time, do not believe in any way you're ever going to be successful. They're not going to let you do it, and you can't do it because it's a negative atmosphere, it's toxic, and it's not going to get you where you want to be.
So you have to make the change.
You have to make it. Well, Walt Disney himself, he had his friends were telling him that this what he wanted to do, that they didn't believe he could do it. And I said, well, Walt Disney must have found new friends because I see this place called Disneyland. I see another place called Disney World. And look at all the amazing movies we've seen, right? If he'd have held on to the friends who were telling him you'll never do this, we wouldn't have any of that.
You know, my belief is that the difference between a dream and reality is just doing it, making it happen. And you don't let anybody stand in your way of your dreams.
Absolutely. You have to, if you got people rolling their eyes when you tell them, you know, this is what I want to do, and they don't go, wow, what can I do to help you? You have the wrong friends.
Yeah.
The kind of people that I deal with now, when I talk to them, they go, what do you need, Bruce? What do you need, Bruce? And I ask them, what do you need? And we're all networking and helping each other to be successful. If you don't have those kinds of friends, you have the wrong friends.
What's the hardest part about being successful?
I don't know that there's a hard part to this. I just had a friend of mine tell me, he says, well, I hope that when you're doing this, you don't get a big head. And I've told people all my life, I'm the same as I was, you know, when I was a kid. And it's not changed. I just see myself being in a situation where I can now help other people. When I was homeless, people would come and talk to me, and they'd go like, wow, what are you doing down here? And I had people walk away that were going after their dream after I talked to them. They make that transition. It's not a hard thing to do, but you're the one that makes the choice. And I got one of my books where I did fear exercises with people down on the beach, and within 3 minutes to get rid of their fear, and now they're going after their dream. Fear is the biggest blocker of people achieving their dreams in the world. So you got to get rid of your fears, and I've got that in my book. Everything that I've done, they got me away from where I was. It's in the book saying you got to choose. If you keep doing it your way, or you're going to make a choice and do it this way. If you do the same thing you did in 2007, you do the same thing in 2008, do you think your life's going to change?
Nope.
You're going to have to make a transition. I have a new book just got released on December 31st. It's called New Life Resolutions. Now, there's a stigma attached to New Year's resolution, and that stigma is failure, because most people fail doing a New Year's resolution. New life resolution is something different. When you're making a resolution, it should be for life, not for the year. So the book was released. People can journalize everything they're doing through the year. It's got 365 affirmations in it. The purpose of that book is to increase the success rate of people that make resolutions, but it has to be a new life resolution, not a new year resolution.
All right, Bruce, stand by. We've got to take our final break. Bruce Goldwell is our special guest, www.brucegoldwell.com. And Bruce and I will be back on the other side of this commercial break. And our final guest for the evening, Susan Titus, is up next. And she has another story to tell. She goes out and talks to prisoners now. She's a rape victim. And we'll hear her story when we come back to the X-Zone after the news. But right now, we have to take a commercial break, and Bruce and I will be back to finish this hour off. www.brucegoldwell.com. My name's Rob McConnell. This is The X-Zone, and you're listening to us and watching us live and around the world on the Talkstar Radio Network and X-Zone TV. Don't go away. Bruce Goldwell is our special guest. First of all, Bruce, thanks very much for joining us, and it's certainly a pleasure talking to you and hearing about your the way you turned your life around and the fact that you're now helping other people to turn their lives around. My hat is off to you, Bruce.
Well, thank you for having me on, Rob. I really appreciate it. And my last thing I'd want to say is that if a person's life isn't magical, then this is their opportunity to change it, make it that way. And my books, I've written them really easy. Everybody that reads them said it was so easy to understand, and they've started already putting the things into practice, and there's reviews actually on Amazon that say what the people had happened to them immediately after reading the book, because what I point out is your life begins to change immediately, because when you change your thoughts, your life immediately changes. I invite them to go to the website and listen, watch the affirmation videos. If that's the only thing they do, that'll help them. But if they want to go further, then the books are available, and hopefully I can be able to coach as many people as I can. I have a limited time, just like everybody else, but those people that I can get to, I'm going to help.
Gosh, I was going to ask you a question there, and I got distracted for a second. How long does it take for these changes to happen, and how important are affirmations in a person's life?
Well, the affirmations are good to start with because they help to get you away from negative thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get activated in what it is your life starts, you become actively involved in that dream that you're wanting to accomplish, then you don't spend so much time doing the affirmations anymore, because now you're focused on the day, you know, some of the things that you're going to be doing to accomplish what you need to do in the day to get yourself to the next level. But you're not waiting 6 months or a year for it to happen. It's instantaneous. And that's one of the things I point out in the book, that thoughts are faster than the speed of light. So the minute you have a thought, that thing is actually going around the world, and you're already starting to get in tune with other people that are thinking those same kind of thoughts, and eventually you're going to come together. And that's what happened in California. I go down there, and I run into Jeff Bova. There's like 200-something people in the foyer of this hotel, and I walk right over, and I stop by some guy, start talking to him. It turned out it's Jeff Bova, and he's Celine Dion's producer. And I said, well, what are you doing here? He says, well, I'm looking for more projects to get involved with. And I told him about my movie, and he says, well, I want to be part of that. That's kind of funny to have Celine Dion's producer calling you up saying, how's it going, Bruce? Where are we at?
I want to thank you very much for joining us tonight. Continued success, and we'll look for your name on the big screen.
Thank you so much, Rob. Appreciate it.
Take care now.
All right.
www.brucegoldwell.com. I don't know. Sounds like a fairy tale to me a little bit, you know. If the guy is on the ball this much, why was he homeless for 10 years? And why is he living with people now instead of his own home, since people cut him checks for $10,000? Computer programmer, and what else was he? So many jobs. He was building homes, million-dollar homes. I don't know, there seems to be more to the story than is on the surface. We'll have to get our research department to start digging and find out what the truth behind this story is. I'll be back on the other side of the news at the top of the hour. Our guest at the time will be Susan Titus, and we're going to be talking about Susan's experiences. And I'll tell you something. She's the author of The Dancer Returns, From Victim to Victory. I'll be back on the other side as the Exxon continues right here live.